Welcome to Being Disciples, who God says I am. Who does God say that I am? These verses are a reassurance to the believer to secure one's faith and confidence. Sit back and soak in the truths of the Word of God.
Welcome to the Being Disciples podcast with Pastor John. All notes, video links can be found at virtualstudywith.us. That's virtualstudywith.us. This weekly podcast published every Monday that is meant to help believers in the gospel of Jesus Christ to mature in their faith. These principles should be useful to anyone who listens, but especially for the believers who are called to be disciples of Jesus Christ. You're invited on a journey to explore what it means to be a disciple. And this is going to be a great time, guys, let me tell you. Well, let's begin by joining Pastor John with an opening prayer. Pastor John?
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for so great a love that you have for us, that you sent your only begotten Son to redeem us and to restore us into a right relationship with you. Thank you, Jesus, that for the joy set before you, you were willing to leave the majesty of heaven to come into this world, your creation, to redeem us and to restore us into a loving relationship with the Father. Thank you for laying down your life for us, both in the living of it and in the dying. In life, you showed us how we ought to live in intimacy with the Father, following the leading of the Holy Spirit and loving one another. In death, you gave your body for us, bruised for our iniquities, wounded for our transgressions, beaten, battered, and bloodied, even pierced to the shedding of your blood for the forgiveness of our sins. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now we ask you to give us the words to say and to open our ears and hearts to hear what you would say to us. Please bless all who join us today and all who hear this message, even the recording at a later time. We thank you. Amen. Now let's get on with the lesson for today. Well, welcome to episode 16 of Being Disciples. Today we're going to look at a phrase, who God says I am. Who does God say we are? Now I've told this story before, and I'm going to tell it again. It's about hearing a working definition of faith that I like to use. At a church I attended, in fact, it was a church Garrett and I attended together. Pastor Alan First was the interim pastor, and he shared a take on what faith is, and it resonated with me, and I've hung on to it, and I've used it ever since I first learned it from him. So he said faith is the total of these three things: believing that God is who he says he is, believing that I am who God says I am, and believing that God will do what he says he will do. So today we're going to deal with part two of that, believing that I am who God says I am. Now we can read all the verses, but still not believe them. We can even understand all the verses, but still not believe them. And even after we intellectually believe them, we must work them into our spirit until there is absolutely no doubt in our beliefs whatsoever. The beliefs need to be a portion of the abundance of our heart. So if you want to hear about that, review episode 15 and Luke chapter 6, verse 45. We looked at this in the last episode. But we are responsible for creating the abundance of our heart, and that's part of what we're going to do today. This episode will be very simple. You will hear the summary of a verse that I'll read, and then the scripture address to which it refers. Here's my reasoning for this. You can mark the start point of the list and listen to it as often as you wish, getting it into your mind and heart. You can listen to a portion of the list for any area you need affirmation and strengthening in your spirit. You can look up the individual verse in the translation of your choice and study it. You can take the verses you need to hear more regularly, record them in your own voice, and listen to them repeatedly until they are in you, inside your heart, in the depth of your spirit. Now, I'll note the start times of the different segments or affirmations on our notes page, Virtual Study With Us or virtualstudywith.us. However you decide to use this episode, listen through at least once after asking Holy Spirit to reveal the love of the Father to you. You may choose to replay a segment or pause and dwell on any aha moment you may have. Let me welcome Garrett in here. Garrett, how are you doing tonight?
It's a great evening, actually, aside from the stormy morning we had here. But other than that, I'm ready to see what God has in store for us tonight. And again, it sounds like it's going to be a wonderful learning experience and God kind of taking the blinders off my eyes.
One last note. I'm reading these as if to current believers, those who have surrendered to Christ Jesus as Savior and Lord. So if you've not yet done so, please take the time to do it now. Believe in your heart that Christ Jesus died for the forgiveness of your sins, and confess with your mouth that God raised him from the dead. A simple gospel is God has so great a love for us, his creation, that he sent his only begotten Son into this world to redeem us and to restore us to a right relationship with himself. The Son was willing to come into this world, his creation, to lay down his life for our sake. He laid down his life both in the living of it and in the dying. In life, Jesus showed us how we ought to live in intimacy with the Father, following the leading of the Holy Spirit and loving one another. In his death, Christ Jesus gave his life for us, sacrificing his body, which was bruised, wounded, and pierced, as he shed his blood for the forgiveness of our sins. He paid a debt he did not owe to pay our debt, which we could not pay. He restores all who will believe to a right relationship with God, free of all fear and condemnation. God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Christ ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father on the throne in heaven. So receive this message into your heart and confess it with your mouth. Turn away from sin and sinful lifestyles and habits, and turn toward God and his great love for you. Answer the call of Christ Jesus, come, follow me. So what's going to happen now is I'm going to read the portion that I wrote out of each verse, and then Garrett's going to read the address for that. And then if you at any time want to look up the one I'm referring to, you'll have the information there. Then on the notes page at virtualstudywith.us, I'll have the start times for each one of these segments, and you can just go listen to the segment you want to if that's what you choose to do. So Garrett, you ready to get started?
Yeah, I'm ready to see you.
Okay, so the first segment is concerning my acceptance by God. I have been forgiven. I have been redeemed through the blood shed by Christ, the forgiveness of my sins.
Colossians chapter 1, verse 14.
I have been redeemed, purchased with a price, made his own.
1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20.
Being in complete perfect love, all fear is cast out with its thought of punishment.
1 John chapter 4, verse 18.
The Father does not judge me, as he has given all judgment into the hands of the Son.
John chapter 5, verse 22.
The Son did not come to judge and condemn me, but to save me.
John chapter 12, verse 47.
As I confess my sin, Jesus forgives my sin and cleanses me from all unrighteousness.
1 John chapter 1, verse 7 through 9.
I am justified. I have been acquitted and declared righteous. I am in right standing with God.
Romans chapter 5, verse 1.
In Christ, I am approved and acceptable in right relationship with God.
2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21.
Believing in Christ, I am not judged, and I have no condemnation nor rejection.
John chapter 3, verse 16 through 18.
I am God's child. As he planned, I have been adopted by God because it pleased him to do so.
Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5.
I now belong to God's household.
Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19.
I now share citizenship with the saints, no longer an outsider.
Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19.
I am united to the Lord. United to the Lord, I have become one spirit with him.
2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17.
I am a member of Christ's body with a place and function.
1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27.
I am made complete in Christ, filled with the Godhead.
Colossians chapter 2, verse 10.
I have access to God as a friend. Christ Jesus calls me his friend.
John chapter 15, verse 15.
I can approach the Father by access through the Holy Spirit.
Ephesians chapter 2, verse 18.
Because of my faith in Christ, I can approach God with boldness of free access without fear.
Ephesians chapter 3, verse 12.
I can draw near to the throne of grace fearlessly, confidently, and boldly.
Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16.
The next segment is concerning my significance in Christ. I am a child of God. As I have received and welcomed Jesus as Lord, he gave me the right to become a child of God.
John chapter 1, verse 12.
By the Spirit whom I have received, I am a son of God.
Romans chapter 8, verse 14 through 16.
because of the quality of the love the Father has shown me, I am permitted to be called a child of God.
1 John chapter 3, verse 1 through 3.
I am a friend of Jesus. Jesus made known to me what he heard from the Father. He calls me his friend.
John chapter 15, verse 15.
I am chosen. Christ chose me and called me to bear fruit.
John chapter 15, verse 16.
I am God's handiwork, created by God, recreated in Christ to do good works which he prepared for me.
Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10.
I am made new. In Christ I am a new creation. The old has passed away.
2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17.
I am a saint, as Paul wrote to living believers, to the saints.
Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1.
I am a citizen of heaven. We are citizens of the state which is heaven.
Philippians chapter 3, verse 20.
I am seated with Christ. I've been raised up and seated with him in heavenly places.
Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6.
I am a part of Christ's body. I am a part with function of Christ's body.
1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27.
I am a part of God's temple. I am a dwelling place of the Holy Spirit.
1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16.
I am a temple of the Holy Spirit who dwells within me.
1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19.
The Father and the Son have made their home within me.
John chapter 14, verse 23.
I am a witness of Christ. Empowered by the Holy Spirit, I am a witness for Christ.
Acts chapter 1, verse 8.
I am a minister of reconciliation. Christ reconciled me to himself and gave me the ministry of reconciliation for others.
2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18.
I am an ambassador for Christ and the gospel unto reconciliation.
2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20.
I am a co-worker of God. I am laboring together with God, his fellow worker.
2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1.
I am a fellow worker of and for God.
1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9.
I am a branch of the vine. In him I bear abundant fruit.
John chapter 15, verse 5.
Abiding in God, I am the salt of the earth.
Matthew chapter 5, verse 13.
I am the light of the world. Abiding in God, I am a light to shine before men and to glorify God.
Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 through 16.
God is not ashamed of me. Christ is not ashamed to call me one of his brethren.
Hebrews chapter 2, verse 11.
God is not ashamed to be called my God.
Hebrews chapter 11, verse 16.
The Father loves me because I love Christ Jesus.
John chapter 16, verse 27.
The Father loves me as he does Christ Jesus.
John chapter 17, verse 23.
And now a segment concerning my security in God. I have been redeemed by Christ. I have been redeemed through the blood shed by Christ, the forgiveness of my sins.
Colossians chapter 1, verse 14.
The Father has drawn me out of the control and dominion of darkness and has transferred me into the kingdom of the Son.
Colossians chapter 1, verse 13.
I am born of God, preserved against the evil one by Christ.
1 John chapter 5, verse 18.
The evil and wicked one has no right to lay hold of or touch me.
1 John chapter 5, verse 18.
I am a child of God by rights given me by God.
John chapter 1, verse 12.
In Christ, I am a son of God by faith.
Galatians chapter 3, verse 26.
I, with all believers, am one in Christ.
Galatians chapter 3, verse 28.
In Christ, God is always with me and wants to provide for my every need.
Luke chapter 15, verse 31.
I am no longer under condemnation. There is now no condemnation as I am now in Christ.
Romans chapter 8, verse 1.
The law of spirit of life has freed me from the law of sin and of death.
Romans chapter 8, verse 2.
I am now free from any condemning charges brought against me.
Romans chapter 8, verse 33.
I am sealed and secured in God. God has established me and confirmed me in Christ.
2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21.
God has consecrated me and anointed me with the gifts of the Holy Spirit.
2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21.
God has acknowledged me as his own and has put his seal upon me.
2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22.
God has secured me and guaranteed the fulfillment of his promise through giving me the Holy Spirit in my heart.
2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22.
I have been stamped with the seal of the Holy Spirit.
Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13.
The Holy Spirit in whom I am sealed is the guarantee of my inheritance.
Ephesians chapter 1, verse 14.
I am united with Christ. My new life is hidden with Christ in God.
Colossians chapter 3, verse 3.
Being baptized in Christ, I have put on Christ.
Galatians chapter 3, verse 27.
I have strength for all things in Christ who empowers me with his sufficiency.
Philippians chapter 4, verse 13.
I have not been given a spirit of fear, but of power, love, discipline, and self-control.
2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7.
God has got me. No one and nothing, whether physical, emotional, or spiritual, can separate me from the love of Christ.
Romans chapter 8, verse 35.
At God's throne of grace, I may receive mercy and appropriate help that is well-timed.
Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16.
Because I am loved by God, and I am called by him, I am assured that all things will work together for good.
Romans chapter 8, verse 28.
With God being on my side, who can stand against me?
Romans chapter 8, verse 31.
I am confident and assured that God who began a good work in me will bring it to perfect completion.
Philippians chapter 1, verse 6.
Okay, that completes our list, so I encourage you to listen to it a few times and get it into your spirit, or go to our study page and study it out for yourself. It's even better if you have it in your own voice to receive it into your spirit.
We're going to go to the Father's Love Letter, an intimate message from God to you, and this is brought to you by fathersloveletter.com. You can check them out. They have some great resources, but we're going to have them play their message for you that we're allowed to use, so check it out. And take a listen right here. John's going to play it for you right now. Enjoy.
My child, you may not know me, but I know everything about you. I know when you sit down and when you rise up. I am familiar with all your ways. Even the very hairs on your head are numbered, for you were made in my image. In me you live and move and have your being, for you are my offspring. I knew you even before you were conceived. I chose you when I planned creation. You were not a mistake, for all your days are written in my book. I determined the exact time of your birth and where you would live. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. I knit you together in your mother's womb and brought you forth on the day you were born. I have been misrepresented by those who don't know me. I am not distant and angry, but am the complete expression of love. And it is my desire to lavish my love on you. Simply because you are my child and I am your father. I offer you more than your earthly father ever could. For I am the perfect father. Every good gift that you receive comes from my hand. For I am your provider and I meet all your needs. My plan for your future has always been filled with hope because I love you with an everlasting love. My thoughts toward you are countless as the sand on the seashore, and I rejoice over you with singing. I will never stop doing good to you, for you are my treasured possession. I desire to establish you with all my heart and all my soul, and I want to show you great and marvelous things. If you seek me with all your heart, you will find me. Delight in me, and I will give you the desires of your heart, for it is I who gave you those desires. I am able to do more for you than you could possibly imagine, for I am your greatest encourager. I am also the Father who comforts you in all your troubles. When you are brokenhearted, I am close to you. As a shepherd carries a lamb, I have carried you close to my heart. One day, I will wipe away every tear from your eyes, and I'll take away all the pain you have suffered on this earth. I am your father, and I love you even as I love my son Jesus. For in Jesus, my love for you is revealed. He is the exact representation of my being. He came to demonstrate that I am for you, not against you, and to tell you that I am not counting your sins. Jesus died so that you and I could be reconciled. His death was the ultimate expression of my love for you. I gave up everything I loved that I might gain your love. If you receive the gift of my son Jesus, you receive me, and nothing will ever separate you from my love again. Come home and I'll throw the biggest party heaven has ever seen. I have always been Father, and will always be Father. My question is, will you be my child? I am waiting for you. Love, your dad, Almighty God.
Oh my goodness.
So we'll be right back after a few words from Garrett.
Just a moment to remind you that all notes and video links can be found at our website, which is virtualstudywith.us. Virtualstudywith.us. Feel free to use this broadcast or the notes as you disciple someone else, as you lead a small group, or as you dive deeper into your own study of God's Word. We will now move into conversation with this week's guest.
Okay, well, Garrett, thank you for those reminders. I suppose after a few people wipe away a few tears that may have impacted, knowing that they are invited to be a child of God, what's your impression?
Oh my gosh. And that was fatherslovelettercom, correct? Man.
Yes, it was.
I was just verifying because I just want to give them another shout out as well because they put that together so well. I think part of it with his voice and then the words, I like the fact that they had a little bit of music beforehand and a little bit of music afterwards so that I could kind of meditate too. And all that whole saying was just a verses from the Bible put together. I mean, it's an awesome love letter.
And if you do go to our notes page, you'll see the verses for each one of those sentences. So it's similar to what we just did, except they didn't give us the chapter and verse, which was nice because it read like a letter.
I wasn't sure if they were going to do that or not, but they did. And I was totally impressed. His voice just had me too.
That was wonderful. Yeah, we're both going to be listening to that one again, I'm sure. Our segment more of grouping ideas together and giving people the verses so they could go study them. So those who do not have access to see it on a desktop computer or a laptop where they can easily study things out, at least we gave them the chapter and verse so they could listen to the audio and then stop and open a Bible or whatever and take a look at them.
We utilize whichever resource they have available. And it's best to always have a copy of your Bible in hand. A lot of us love our technology devices, but the Bible doesn't run out of battery juice, the actual Bible. So, you know, having one of those on hand is always a good idea.
And then the other part is coming from the video world, like we both do, having done a lot of videos, that now doing the podcast, it's not as if we can just read it and let them see the verse. So I felt it was important to actually give the verse physically.
And I agreed with it. I think that worked out pretty well.
I want to refer back for a minute to that working definition of faith. Believing that God is who he says he is. That's one step. And that's basically what brings us to salvation, is that the Father sent the Son, who is our Savior, our Redeemer,
you
know, brought us into that right relationship. There's a lot more to study in the Bible about that, but that's kind of, if you're this far, you've probably understood that part. But the believing that I am who God says I am is different than believing who I think I am or what other people tell me I am. We really need to make the adjustment to learn, what does God say about me, about his children, about me specifically, and am I going to believe it? Then, of course, believing that he'll do what he says he'll do.
Again, it's a simple concept. It's not easy to grasp completely or do. I think it's pretty amazing that, yes, he has a plan and it's in his Bible there for me. Exactly me, my exact being, my every cell, same for everybody else. It's incredible.
So I always remember back in these situations to Psalm 139, verse 16. It says, your eyes saw my unformed substance, and in your book all the days of my life were written before ever they took shape, when as yet there was none of them. So before my days even took place, he already had a book written about my life, about the works that he prepared in advance for me to do, about the way he expected me to follow him and whatever exploits he expected me to take part of. So that's always encouraging to think that he has such a high hope for me. And that's why he says that he's our greatest encourager.
Yeah, I threw that verse too. I get it. And again, he's an amazing God that he did all this. I think about it as like prequels and sequels to movies. Here's the book. It's already been there. Here it is. It's laid out. You just need to follow in obedience and faith. And there you go.
So in the beginning, I know that this episode was going to be simple, that I was going to read the phrases, you would read the addresses, and that we probably wouldn't have a conversation afterwards. But that did go quicker than I thought. I thought maybe that audio recording would take up a little more time. But we have a few minutes here to comment anyway. So I guess my hope is that people really start absorbing this into their heart and experience what God really has to say about them. I know there were a couple things that surprised me when I was preparing this. For example, there were verses talking about the whole Godhead dwelling with me. Colossians 2:10, when it says, I'm united to the Lord. I am made complete in Christ, filled with the Godhead. So that one kind of took me by surprise a little bit.
Yeah, I'm with you there too, because he does fill that void inside of us. He wanted to do that. He's been doing that from the beginning of time. He had this plan. He has a plan for us. It's incredible. It really is.
We generally acknowledge Christ in us. We generally acknowledge the Holy Spirit dwelling within us. Don't you know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? But this one, at least in the Amplified version, says, "And you are in him, made full and having come to fullness of life. In Christ, you too are filled with the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and reach full spiritual stature. And he is the head of all rule and authority of every angelic principality and power." So to think that we're that important to God, and I guess there is a verse in the New Testament where Jesus says that if you obey my commandment, my Father will come and make his home with you also, that the two of us will dwell with you. So this isn't some off-the-cuff remark by Paul.
No.
But I just found that one very interesting.
I'm looking at things going, yeah. He knows what his plan was, and he's providing for our every need. We just need to act and believe accordingly.
He does have a place for us and a function for us. And if we go back to our study on the wall and the living stones, we're all unique, but we have a unique spot. We all have a purpose. Are we willing to surrender ourselves to God in order to fulfill that purpose?
And we were created to do just that, which is what I consider to be my work, my labor, I guess. And I enjoy, you kind of enjoy doing it because it's part of being that obedience, and then showing him your love back is being obedient and then following in the footsteps and doing what you need to do. And then just talking with him, conversing, praying, having that daily relationship with him is another part he really wants us to be engaged in. So again, going back to these verses and letting them saturate us can help us while we're meditating, or say you're out on a walk in the park or whatever, and you just want to meditate on some of these things. The more you hear them, the more that you can get them instilled into yourself, that you can just kind of like remember them as you're going. And not that you always have to remember chapter and verse either, but know that he has said these things, you can believe these things, you can act and work towards those things in his name, and he's got you. I can't do it without him. I mean, well, all the struggles right. I've gone through in my life, I wouldn't be here without making that decision. And I think you could probably say the same thing,
right?
You know,
I also sensed an importance of grouping these together like this. If you're having struggles with your self-esteem, and is God really going to accept us? So the first grouping is concerning my acceptance by God. It tells us all about how he's wanting to be with us, and he's accepting us how we are. Of course, he's expecting us to grow in him as we surrender to him. Then the second part, well, who am I? Just another cog. Yeah. Do I really have importance? So concerning my significance in Christ, that we do have a significant spot, a role to play, a part to partake in. And then the third segment, concerning my security in God, because I know it's always been a religious battle. I think it's a ploy of the enemy, quite frankly, about do you really have eternal security? Now I say, when I surrendered to the Lord, he gave me eternal life, not kind of eternal or not partial eternal, but eternal life. I should be secure in him. So these are the verses talking about my security in God. I think whatever area you're having difficulty with in, you can zoom in and focus on these. And again, I'll put the time where each segment begins on the recording, on the notes, so people can go back to them.
And I didn't realize that you would purposely group them that way. And now it makes even more sense to me, because I can go, hey, I'm struggling with this, and I can hone in on those things. I know there's points and times in our lives where I'm like, okay, wait, I've sinned so much. How can he possibly, you know, and you have that doubt, like I've prayed the prayer, I've been accepted, and you feel like you got to keep going back up to the altar or getting back down on your knee and repetitively like re-asking him into your heart. And I've gotten past that point because I know I've got him there. If I've sinned, now I got to repent. Let's get back on track. Let's re-get the relationship going. Yeah, I can totally see where the insecurity side of things could come into play when you're starting out as a new believer or in your regular walk too. I'm sure you've had moments too, John, where you've had doubts about certain things, and that's why we have the Bible, why we have these tools, why we have resources that he's given us.
And like I said, at 3 a.m., I just wanted to soak some more of this into my spirit. I'm dealing with how much of God is really dwelling with me. You know, I should be affecting the atmosphere wherever I go if this is true, right? So I'm just feeling my spirit getting larger, so to speak, as I go through this stuff. This whole thing about teaching people about being disciples has convicted me in my weak areas, confirmed me in my strong areas, encouraged me to grow and to teach others. People that teach understand you might research a volume worth of stuff to teach a chapter worth of stuff. So whoever's teaching yep. always has a bigger benefit than the one that he's teaching or she's teaching. So my final thought on the matter is, I did this because my prayer is that people will be ministered to by having these verses grouped together and being able to repair the damage in their spirit from life gone by. But then the Father's love letter at the end, I'm really praying the way they did that so well, that you just absorb the touch of the Holy Spirit and the love of the Father through that whole thing, knowing that you came to Christ for a reason, and to see fulfillment of that is my biggest prayer for you. Your final thoughts, Garrett.
And I second that completely. I uplift that, and I pray over each person that hears this message that you feel and draw closer to God during whatever experience he brings to you, whatever teaching he pulls out of the words that he gave us to bring to you today. Thanks, John. It's amazing what I always learn, and I grow deeper and deeper every time.
Okay, well, thanks for joining me, Garrett, and we'll hopefully see the rest of you on our next episode of Being Disciples. Next time on Being Disciples, episode 17 is Righteous Living. What does it mean to live righteously? Then how do we live in such a way? Is it even possible? Join us and learn about righteous living next time on Being Disciples.
Thank you for joining us today for this episode of Being Disciples. The show is hosted on Podbean with a webpage at beingdisciples.podbean.com. There you'll find all episodes of this podcast. There's also a patron button you can use to support this broadcast if you feel so moved, and we would very much appreciate that. So thank you. You can also find us on your favorite podcast platform. The notes and links for this show can be found at virtualstudywith.us. Again, virtualstudywith.us. Feel free to use this broadcast or the notes as you disciple someone else, as you lead a small group, or as you dive deeper into your own study. From that site, you can contact us if you'd like to join a study group. If you have questions or comments for Pastor John, you can contact John by email at john.s@anokaawakening.com. And that's john.s@anokaawakening.com. Please subscribe to this podcast and join us again next week as we learn more about being disciples.